We just prepare to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. After the sermonic hymn, the next voice you will hear is from our own Brother Tony Parham.
And where you lead me, I will follow. And with all my heart, I give you praise. Giving peace in midst of sorrow, I will lift my voice and give you praise. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Your love sent from up above has changed my nights into a thousand rainbows, and through your love I found more strength than I've
Father, we do give you praise this morning. We thank you that without you, we are nothing, but in you, we can find everything. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Amen. God is good, and all the time. God is good, and all the time. Amen, amen. Praise God. It's a blessing and a privilege to be with you this morning. Give honor to our pastors, Pastor Pastors Ray and Gloria Hammond, who gave me, Pastor Hammond gave me a call last night to pray with me for on behalf of you and to pray for this word. And I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And I asked Pastor Hammond, I said, is there any message you would like to send the saints? He said, tell them I'm having a good time, but I really do miss them. I really do miss them. And I'm really, he said, I'm really being able to get some rest and refreshment, but also able to hear some things from the Lord. And he's eager to get back to share with us here. So again, we're going to, I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We're going to look into the word. Of course, as you come to assemble to church, you should, of course, bring your word, bring your Bible, the sword with you. How many of you have your word with you? How many of you have your Bible? Amen, amen. So you should bring your Bible. You should bring something to write on and something to write with, because as we share, it's great to have the experience in the moments, but that momentary experience can be great, but where it rubber really meets the road is, are you able to apply this to your heart and to your life? So you want to take notes and do study when you get at home. Can you say amen? Amen. We're going to look at Isaiah, a familiar passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Of course, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. If you are open your Bible, if you have a hard copy Bible, open up to the middle, you most likely will hit Psalms. And then we have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to begin at verse 25. If you have it, say amen. Okay, that was a little tenuous, so we'll give you a few moments. All righty. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. If you have it, say amen. All right, now we're moving. I'm reading from the New International Version, and the word says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Can you say amen? The King James Version says, they that wait, can you say wait? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Before I get into my word, I'm reminded of a story. There was a grandmotherly type woman down in Texas, and she was driving this big old car down the highway, and sister girl was going at a good clip. She was kind of, I don't know, she wasn't paying attention what she was doing, but she was, let's say, soaring down the highway in Texas, and sure enough, in the rearview mirror, and she pulls over, and out of the car strolls one of Texas' finest, big cap, kind of strolls over to him, saying, excuse me, ma'am, you know how fast you were going? She's, oh, officer, was I going too quickly? Ma'am, let me see your license, please. Oh, well, I don't actually have a driver's license. Excuse me, miss, you don't have a driver's license? Miss, let me see your registration for your vehicle, please. Oh, I don't actually have registration. Excuse me, miss. Yeah, this isn't even actually my car. What? Yeah, this, I actually got it from a guy. Actually, I kind of stole it from him. Excuse me, what? Yeah, he's tied up there in the trunk of the car. And the trooper's eyes got big and bald. He stepped back away from the vehicle, went to his car. Next thing you know, 3-6 vehicles come up, surrounded, and another trooper, obviously someone more senior, has all the gold on his shoulder, coming, excuse me, ma'am, Officer Johnson says you have someone in the trunk of your vehicle. She goes, really? The trunk of my vehicle? How could that be? I'll open the trunk. Ma'am, no, give me the keys, slowly, give me the keys, we will open the trunk, thank you. They slowly got to the trunk. They all stood around, you ready? They opened it. Trunk was empty. He walked back up. He said, ma'am, Officer Johnson said this wasn't your car. This is not my car? Good heavens, I've had this car for 10 years. In fact, here's the registration. He looks over at the officer. Ma'am, do you have a driver's license? Officer Johnson says you don't have a driver's license. Well, of course I have a driver's license. Here it is. That Officer Johnson, why, he probably told you I was speeding. Rascal that he is. So we have a situation where things weren't what they seemed to be in that situation. And why did I bother to tell you that long story? Because just as in that situation, things aren't always what they seem to be, so it is in our life. We perceive certain things in our life, and they aren't always what they appear to be. Our scripture portion says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And as humans, we have a real problem with that four-letter word, wait. Wait. And if it were up to us, we would delete that word from God's vocabulary. We would take our spiritual right out and write it out in the Bible, because it cannot, sometimes it doesn't feel like a pleasant word, because we want what we want, and we want it now. And sometimes we get in situations where we ask the Lord, Lord, why is it that certain things do not happen when we think that they should happen? Why is it, Lord, that you cause us to wait? And the Lord gave me some lessons and pointed out that wait is actually can be perceived as an acronym. Wait. There's a couple of things that each one of those letters stand for, which gives us a clue as to why sometimes the Lord has us to wait. And so we're going to go through each one of those. First, the W in the word wait, as to why the Lord has us to wait. The W stands for wrong or sin. Sin. Wrong or sin. Sometimes it's because of sin or disobedience in our life, which causes us to have to wait for certain things. And the wrong can actually be in different time frames. Sometimes it's a past wrong, something that we did that disqualifies us, and we must rectify that wrong before we can proceed. Psalm 66, verse 18 said, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 exhorts us that we should live as children of light, no longer living as the Gentiles, as the unsaved do. But we should put wrong, put sin, put disobedience away from our life. The good news is, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So if we have a wrong or sin in our past or in our present, we can deal with it. Examine yourself to determine what is that thing. Acknowledge what it is. Cleanse yourself of it. Just be honest with God. Because guess what? God knows anyway. You front and thinking that God doesn't. Certainly God knows. And guess what? Sometimes there are those around us that know also. We think we are so clever we can hide our sin. But the Bible talks in different places that our sin has become a stench in the nostrils of God. Clean that thing up. It is sometimes a hindrance that prevents us from moving forward, which is the one reason, a past sin, why we have to wait. Sometimes, and this is a little strange, so that was a past or a present sin. Sometimes there's a future sin that the Lord kind of helps us to address. What are you talking about? It's future sin. Something which is an apparent obstacle can actually be protecting you from going the wrong way. Well, give me an example of that, Pastor Tony. I'm glad you asked. If you look in the Old Testament in Numbers, we have this guy named Balaam. And he had a donkey. He was riding a donkey trying to get from here to there. And the donkey wouldn't move, wouldn't go where he wanted to go. He started beating the donkey. And finally, the donkey actually spoke verbally to him and basically said, "Why are you beating me? Haven't I always been obedient in the past?" And the Lord then showed to Balaam that if you had gone down this path, you would have gotten into trouble because you were about to do something that I had commanded you not to do. Balaam repented and went the other way. And so sometimes wrong, sin, prevents us from seemingly progressing. And so we need to deal with it, perceive it. If it's a past or present sin, confess your sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's W in the word wait, wrong or sin. The A talks to alignment. Alignment. And there's a couple of different aspects of alignment which sometimes God is working in our life. Sometimes there's an alignment of the heart. God is giving us time. He's giving us opportunity. He's giving us signals to get our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit, our attitudes in alignment with His, with the Word of God, with God's call on our lives. Sometimes it's an alignment not of heart, but sometimes they're an alignment of skills. There are things which you haven't learned yet. I know you think you're ready to do that thing, to climb that mountain, but God is saying, whoa, hold on, sister, hold on, brother. I know you think you're ready, but you're just not quite ready. I'm causing you to wait for your own good so that you can develop those skills so that you're ready for the next chapter. We've all seen examples, unfortunately, of people who are put into positions where they're a little bit over their head and they start to flounder because they were not ready. So in both these areas, in heart and in skill, you think you're waiting for God, but guess what? God is actually waiting for you. And there's some things that you need to do to get your heart and your skills in the right place of alignment. The third aspect of alignment, we talked about alignment of heart and skills. There's also sometimes an alignment of people that needs to happen. That certain people are not yet in their place. An example of that is in Joseph. Joseph, as we know, went through all kinds of crazy challenges and persecutions, and he was in prison for a long time. And there was nothing that he can do until certain happenings, certain people, the baker and the cupbearer, had to get in their place. And he couldn't accelerate that. It was nothing internal to Joseph, but people had to get in the right place, and then he was able to move forward. There's also an alignment of situations, which might need to happen again. In this case, there's nothing that you can do to accelerate that. The situations have to work their way out. We can think, just even in the natural, of the example of a mother who's giving birth to a child. There's that just has to go its natural biological course. I know perhaps you would want that child to be born in 1 month, but guess what? It takes 9 months for that birth to go through its process because things are being put in place. So sometimes there's an alignment that needs to happen with you. Sometimes there's an alignment that needs to happen that you just have to wait for. So that's A, the alignment. The I in the word wait stands for increases. Increases. Some waiting often increases certain attributes in our life. The Bible talks, for example, the fact that waiting increases patience. Galatians chapter 5:22 talks about patience as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 12 talks about endurance and patience being important. Colossians 3 talks about clothing yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hebrews 6:12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. In fact, a definition, a dictionary defines patience, says patience is the capacity to endure hardship, difficulty, or inconvenience without complaint. Patience is the ability to endure hardship, difficulty, or inconvenience without complaint. And it emphasizes calmness, self-control, and the willingness to tolerate delay. Patience also increases our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are so tied into our physical senses and so dependent on our physical senses, and God is saying, I am not one who is fed by the physicality. I require you to walk in faith. Waiting, if you deal with it properly, can help to increase your faith. It can increase your hope, your character, your dependence on God. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 in the Living Bible, it's an excellent translation, says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more and more each time we use it until finally hope and faith are strong and steady. hope and faith are strong and steady. If you deal with weight effectively, it helps to increase faith, hope, strength of character, and dependence on God. Subs the I, increases. The T stands for test. Test. Sometimes God causes us to wait because he's testing us. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about this, says that he is testing us in order to know what is in our hearts, whether or not we will keep his commands. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 15, especially verse 2. In fact, let's take a look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. God is talking to the Israelites, and he's telling them, he says, all the commandments I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and that you may possess the land that the Lord has promised you on oath. And here it is, verse 2, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, in the NIV, he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. They had to wait 40 years. 40 years is a long time. A long time. You're like, I've been waiting for that promise. Lord, you said I'm going to get in that land going to be flowing with milk and honey. Lord, I ain't seen a drop of milk nor honey. And it's been a month, Lord. It's been going on 2 months now. I ain't seen no milk, no honey, no nothing. And the Lord says, remember, Deuteronomy 8:2, remember how the Lord led you all the way in the desert for 40 years. Why? He goes on and says why. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. We have our own agenda, but God has his agenda. And guess whose agenda is more relevant? Psalm 66, verses 10 to 12 says, for you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. And as we think about that word refine, and as we think about gold, I'm reminded of, as you think about the process of refining of gold, what happens with gold, as we all know, is you heat it up, and it goes from its solid form into a molten form. And as you heat it up, as the goldsmith heats it up, what happens is, as the gold is bubbling, impurities rise to the surface of the gold. And what happens is the goldsmith scoops up the impurities so that that gold is actually now more pure gold, doesn't have those impurities in it. But what happens is, once he scoops off those impurities, he then turns the fire up just a little bit hotter. And when he does that, an entirely different set of impurities comes to the top. And then he scoops off those impurities. And he does this several times. It's what they call an iterative process. And interestingly enough, as he gets to the end of that process, the last impurity, I'm told, which gets scooped off of the top of gold is this thing called silver. Silver. And we don't think of silver as an impurity. Silver is a valuable thing. I had some silver in my pocket, I'd be kind of happy. But in the context of gold, silver is an impurity. And God may be trying to do some things in your life where he's moving you from horrible to bad to good to better to best. God wants the best in your life, and you're complaining because you're not dealing with the weight appropriately, with the test that God is taking you through. So that's what the Lord gave me as to what this whole thing, wait, W-A-I-T, is all about. Wrong is the W, A is the alignment, I, it increases, and T is the test. And interestingly, when you put it all together, you also get a sentence. Wrong alignment increases test. Wrong alignment increases test. If you're not dealing with that wait period effectively, guess what? The heat may be turned up a little bit higher because the Lord is trying to scoop some impurities out of your life. Why don't you just surrender to what the Lord is trying to do and say, Lord, I know things don't seem to be the way I want them to be, but yet not I, but not my will, but your will be done in my life. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised. If he's given you a promise, recognize that he who promised is faithful. He's not like that janky coworker or a friend. He, God, is faithful. And it may not seem like it's happening in your time frame, but guess what? He's moving despite what you can or cannot see. And an important scripture to write down, if you write nothing down, write this scripture down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, waits for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. That bears rereading. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, waits for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Sometimes, not sometimes, but many times, we need to get the word of God and commit it and brand it in our spirit and just review it over and over again. There was a point in my life where some things had gone dreadfully wrong, according to my point of view. It seemed like the Lord had some promises. I went into a situation. I thought it was going to go one way. It went completely different way. I was dejected. But when I walked out of that, it was a job interview that I thought I had, but they took it another way. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And I came out, and as I was walking down the street, I just said over and over, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, it will certainly come and will not delay. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. You have to speak to yourself, repeat to yourself, not what does the situation say, not what does your soul say, but what does God say about that situation? Walk in what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. So that's all well and good. So, okay, you said, Brother Tony, I got it. I got it now. I got it. I know what wait is for. I have to deal with the wrong, deal with the alignment, deal with the increases, learn the increases, and persevere through the test. And I know that wrong alignment increases tests. So, Pastor Tony, I got it. I will look at my situation better. But I have a question for you, Pastor Tony. What should I do while I wait? I'm glad you asked that question. There's four P's I'll give you. What should you do while you wait? The first P we've alluded to stands for persevere. Persevere. Perseverance is defined as a steady persistence in adhering to a course of action, a belief, or a purpose. A steadfastness. Perseverance. That's something that you need to grasp a hold of. That's what successful people, you think it's because of their brilliance. Their brilliance may have some influence of, but successful folks, those folks you see as successful, have learned how to persevere. It's a rare person who doesn't get discouraged. When it happens to us, or someone else, we try to cheer them up, but the value of courage and perseverance and persistence has rarely been more convincingly illustrated than in the life of this particular U.S. citizen that I'm going to review a couple of events in their life. At age 22, this particular person flat out failed in business at age 22. At age 23, he decided to go into politics, ran for legislature, but was totally defeated. At age 24, tried again in business and completely failed again. In age 25, said, let me try politics again, and ran for legislature. This time was elected. Okay, got a little success. Age 26, long-term sweetheart died. Age 27, had a nervous breakdown. Age 29, ran for another office as speaker, but was defeated. Age 31, ran for elector, defeated. Age 34, ran for Congress, defeated. Age 37, ran for Congress again and was elected. Age 39, ran for re-election, defeated for Congress. Age 46, ran for Senate, defeated. Age 47, ran for Vice President of the United States of America, defeated. And at age 56, died. Age 56, died. But at age 51, he ran and was elected as President of the United States of America. And that's the record of Abraham Lincoln. Question is, what about you? As you are waiting for what God is doing in your life, will you persevere? There's an example of a Chinese bamboo, which I won't have time to get into completely, but there's a plant called the Chinese bamboo. When you plant it, for 4 years, it looks like absolutely nothing is happening. But in year five, whoosh, it grows to 80 feet. And the trick is that in those 4 years that looks like nothing's happening, under the soil, roots are being laid and growing, and a foundation is being laid. And so it is sometimes in our life. It looks like nothing is happening, but God may be developing roots in your life. Perseverance, first P. Second P, practice. Practice. One person said, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. You already know some things the Lord has laid in your life. While you're waiting, do those things. Do those things. Psalm chapter 119, verse 33 says, teach me your decrees, O Lord. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Practice. Another P is prepare. You need to prepare for that. Believing that that promise is going to come to pass, prepare for it. We gave the example earlier about the mother whose child is growing. There's a gestation period. But guess what? Although the mother cannot accelerate that 9-month gestation period, there are some things that the mother can do and the father can do. The child, when it comes out, is going to need a place to sleep, needs to have a room, needs to have a crib, whatever. You can prepare for that fruition as it comes to pass. And the last P is you can also pray for and minister to others. This is so, so, so key. Pray for and minister to others. Take your mind and your focus off yourself. I found in some of my most difficult situations, when I'm feeling, as they say down south, lower than a rattlesnake's underbelly, sometimes if I will take my mind, my focus, my attention off of myself and look to others that I can touch and I can minister to, a funny thing happens. You are kind of like a conduit, which is like a fancy name for a tube. And as you reach out to others, as the anointing of God flows through you to others, guess what? Some of it sticks on you. And the Lord will bless you as you minister to that person. And one other person said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. There's always somebody, no matter how dire your situation is, there's always somebody around you that's in worse situation and could benefit from your touch, from your care. So therefore, we've learned that wait, yes, we have to wait, but we've learned that wait is an active verb. It's not a passive verb. While you're waiting for God to do what he's promised to do in your life, there's some things that you need to do. And as the brother pastor Tony Lee ministered to us some time ago, our activity, maybe not just of a hummingbird, who's lots of movement, but maybe not as much distance, but Pastor Lee reminded us that of the eagle who was able to deal with the winds of adversity and spread his wings and let the storm's winds lift him to a higher level. That should be the attitude, the position of our heart. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. As we close and as the musicians come up to play softly in the background, I'm reminded of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where the apostle points out, he says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And so we need to keep in mind that God has a different perspective on things. He doesn't count time as we count time. But we need to have God's perspective as we look at our life, as we wait. It's not a passive wait, it's an active wait. We started in Isaiah chapter 40, and the scripture said, starting in verse 28, said, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we stand to our feet, what's the Lord saying to you? Are there things and situations in your life that you thought that thing would have come to pass a long time ago? There's a situation which there may be obstacles which seem to come in the way. How are you going to deal with it? There may be some unconfessed sin in your life. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a complainer? Are you going to sit on the back of your heels? Or are you going to make wait an active verb? Address the wrongs. Address the alignments of your hearts, of your skills. Allow it to provide increases in different areas of your life. Recognize that it may be a test and wanting to be found faithful when the results of your test are reviewed before the Lord. There's a gospel group in Shreveport, Louisiana called Forever Jones, and they wrote a song called Time to Believe. And the song starts off and says, it's time to believe in what God said. Time to believe in what He promised. We see small, He sees great. When we speak doubt, He speaks faith. It's time to believe in what God said. Join with me. Time to believe in what God said. Time to believe in what He promised. We see small, He sees great. When we speak doubt, He speaks faith. It's time to believe in what God says. It's time to believe. Time to believe in what God says. It's time to believe in what He promised. Time to believe in what He promised. We see small, but He sees great. We see small, He sees great. When we speak doubt, we speak faith. It's time to believe in what God says. Tell the Lord, say, I will believe, I will believe. I will believe in what God says. I will believe in what He promised. I will believe in what He promised. When I see small, I'll see great. When I see small, I'll see. I spoke in doubt. Now I'll speak faith. I will believe. Will believe in what God says. I will believe. I will believe in what God says. I will believe in what He promised. I will believe in what He promised. I spoke in doubt, now I'll speak faith. I spoke in doubt, I speak faith. When I see small, I'll see great. I do believe.